I came here, I tossed something into the pit. I still haven't heard it hit, and I have good ears. But there are things within the pit, you know. Yes, dark, comforting things that make all sorts of promises. I've been strong, but the Pretender Leech is at my strength, and I wonder, am I still mad? Are you truly there, boy? What's that sound? It's Lore Wars.
Welcome to Lore Wars. My name is Maddie.
And I'm Ben.
And we are here to talk shit about Magic the Gathering novels.
Just about.
Yep.
Something we've been talking shit about at...
We've been planning this for a while.
We've been planning this for a very long time. A
few years. We're going to pick trilogies. We're not going to go in order.
Because that would lock us into having to do the whole thing in order. And that's just...
Ben's a bit of a completionist.
I'm a bit of a completionist, yeah. We can say.
You should see his Skyrim playlist.
You know, we've been talking about how the lore in Magic started off really fun and good.
Yeah.
And then the novel stopped, and they just kind of became half-assed blog posts. Yeah. And it's just such a decline from, like, these kind of oddball fantasy novels that were the case, at least when I started playing.
We're going to deep dive into some of the literature and lore that supports Magic the Gathering card game for children 13 years and up. We're going to talk about, we just want to put a disclaimer at the beginning of this. We will be making fun of these books likely. We are not making fun of the authors. We understand and hope to find out more about the constraints of the schedule at WotC and what deadlines looked like and whether they had editors or not, which for this one I'm pretty sure they didn't, based on the...
Yeah, or maybe a bad one.
Yeah.
But, or if maybe they were not read really at all before being sent to print. It's this kind of golden age of Magic. You'd go to the store and you'd buy a fat pack.
Oh, hell yeah.
And with it would come a novel. And if you were lucky, you'd open some legendary card in one of your booster packs, and it'd be a character in the novel, and then, you know, you're reading all the flavor text on your cards and trying to piece together this lore... You know, if you were like me and interested in that, but then these novels, though.
Which is almost certainly what these authors also had to do to try to string these together.
As we found out, yeah. the authors were, they're given a bunch of flavor text maybe and just a loose outline, and we're like, okay, cool.
I'd
come
say
up with a story.
There's no other IP-related novels I've ever read other than Star Wars, where there's so many winks to the audience as far as like, here's a thing from the game.
Oh yeah, a lot, directly from the game,
like,
as we'll see,
by like to the letter.
And I remember that a little bit from the novels, but the one that we chose for this first episode was
The Gathering Dark, Ice Age Cycle, Book One by Jeff Grubb.
I had not read these.
Nor have I.
And we had never read this one. It is close to the beginning. Of the story. It actually turned out in a really fun way.
It is the entire covering of the Dark, basically. The set, the Dark, apparently occurs in this one time period.
In this one book, followed by Ice Age.
Yes. Yeah, this is leading up to the Ice Age, kind of. So I just wanted to talk about maybe like the lay of the land during that time period, and Jeff Grubb in general, just a little history lesson. So Jeff Grubb worked for TSR. He started in 1982. TSR is the company that owns Dungeons & Dragons. Was owned by Gary Gygax, the guy that created Dungeons & Dragons. And reading through his wiki page and doing some research, this dude did every single thing that was important to Dungeons & Dragons. The biggest one probably, and relevant right now because of Baldur's Gate 3's popularity, is... Ed Greenwood, who is the creator of the Forgotten Realms, used to write into Dragon Magazine, write articles for them. And Jeff Grubb hit him up and was like, hey, your home campaign seems really cool, man. Send me stuff and we'll publish a box set out of it. I bet we can get them to print it. And they did, and that was the first Forgotten Realms box set that Jeff Grubb heavily helped with. Right?
Truly
so
insane.
And that's where Baldur's Gate comes from. So if you enjoy that video game, it's at least in small part thanks to Mr. Jeff Grubb. He also... developed the Spelljammer campaign setting and the Al-Qaeda kind of problematic but super fun, like 1001 Nights Arabian style campaign setting.
Nice.
He hung out until 1992, at which point he became like a consultant for the company and helped them work on things. Then in 1997, our friends at Wizards of the Coast purchased TSR, and Jeff would come along for the ride. In 1999, this book was released. Other things that happened at WotC this year were Urza's Destiny was released, Urza's Legacy was released, Mercadian Masks was released, the first edition of Pokemon the Trade Carding Game was released in America, and Hasbro bought them.
Yeah. Small year.
So very probably not chaotic time at the company.
No, definitely. They have plenty of time to edit books and things like that.
You
and
can tell.
Oversee lore for their now, like, one of their smaller projects.
Yeah, things that they have to also redacted as hard as Marvel Comics has.
Yeah.
And on the subject, while we brought up the editing several times, I will say I am a heavy reader. I've probably read, like, hundreds to thousands of sci-fi fantasy novels. I've never read a novel printed with so many typos in it.
Yeah. I certainly caught a few myself, and I don't read nearly as much as you. Something for the listeners at home, by the way, that little history lesson that you just heard, straight off the dome from Maddie, didn't have a phone out or anything.
I didn't look at my notes.
Fully memorized.
It was the power of 32 years of sobriety followed by 8 years of smoking a lot of weed.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you were wondering what the combination is, there it is.
My beautiful mind moment.
So that's crazy. I never would have thought that about the author of this book. I would have thought that this was somebody who maybe, had written some, maybe one or two things before, had a portfolio to submit to Wizards, and they were just like, yeah, cool, you can handle the Ice Age books fine.
It appears, he wrote one of the best Dragonlance books of all time, Lord Teod, which also has inquisitional themes, which might be why those parts of this book come off so well.
Okay.
Because he'd already done it once. But for the most part, Jeff Grubb only wrote books based on other people's IP.
Cool.
He's a really good game designer, but he did mostly tie-ins for like Warcraft and Magic and D&D and other things. It feels like novelizations were his backup plan, his second income, basically.
And he did a hell of a job here.
This book's very fun.
Oh, it was a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad we started with this.
Right about this time, the year I started, the first set that got released was Ice Age. So for me, this is very poignant to start here at the dawn of the Ice Age, because it's also where I started, like, all those cards from the Ice Age that are just iconic, and like the worm with the ice all over it and all that stuff.
Oh yeah. Everything down to like the best printing of Swords to Plowshares.
Hell
in my,
yeah,
you know,
dude.
All that
stuff. Also Counterspell, the most beautiful
of
Counterspell
course.
Of all time.
Yeah.
That lady's hot.
No shortage of hot ladies in this Ice Age. as we will get into is exactly one.
Yeah.
We'd like to eventually find more info on Jeff Grubb. The next two books that we're going to cover as part of the cycle are all, written by him. So as we find out more information, we can...
My dude also is still alive.
Call
he
him
lives
up.
In Pittsburgh. So
get
maybe
him out
I'll
here.
Try to reach out, find some contact
Honestly,
information.
Yeah,
we It'd should... be cool to interview him
that'd
as
be
the
fucking sweet.
Additional episode at the end of
yeah.
the trilogy.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
So I guess... Ben, if you want to, let's start into the plot synopsis, which I described as, when your friend tries to tell you a story about a fight they heard at the bar and they try to do it all in one voice. That's definitely how this plot feels.
Oh, exasperated. Yeah. A big, long, run-on story. Mm-hmm. There's a lot packed into this one, so let's jump in. Okay. The Gathering Dark.
Mm.
Of note, before we get started... this whole storyline takes place in, how is this pronounced, Maddie?
Tertiary. I think there, yeah.
Don't worry, it's not going to come up.
It reads Swedish super hard. Tertiary.
Apparently is a large continent in the northeast of Dominaria.
Mm-hmm.
And it's home to such places as Yavimaya.
Yeah,
the Attakar Wastes.
Attakar
Wastes. The Carplusian Mountain Range.
Carplusian Mountains.
All the Painlands.
Yes, sir.
Really seem to be found here and name dropped in the book. And lastly, every chapter, before we jump in.
Oh, I've been excited to talk about, honestly, the most clear point of view in the entire book.
Oh, Arkol the Argivian Scholar.
Yes.
Who has a foreword or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before each chapter. on more than one occasion contain spoilers for the chapter that you're about to read.
1,000%.
Egregious ones, which are really funny.
So funny. And yeah, so it's just like a little blurb, and it's just him doing a history lesson, but also editorializing during it.
Big time editorializing. you could almost just read these and kind of get a grasp of what's
going on. I would read a whole book of this.
Yeah, and I'm sure there is one.
one thing he kept bringing up, he's very stuck on, is that Joda, historians aren't sure if he was one person.
Yes.
Or several people with the title of Joda. Or a family of Jodas, like JoJo's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
and this is a bizarre adventure.
This is certainly a bizarre adventure. And this adventure starts with Ith himself.
Ith, my guy.
Ith is in a cage in the dark. And we learn that he was put there some time ago by a colleague.
Mersil the Pretender.
Mersil the Pretender did not get his own card until what?
That's like the
there's a commander
first
set.
Commander precons,
yeah.
Maybe?
One of the commander precons is a Grixis mage, apparently, though he'll go on to say that he employs all five colors in the book.
Yeah.
And brags about
bullshit.
It. The usurper, the pretender, has tricked Ith into a cage somehow. And it's
Barl's cage.
Indeed. Barl's cage. Well, you don't know that yet, though.
No.
Yeah. But we do know, everybody knows Maze of Ith. And that's kind of really...
Which is under construction when this book happens.
Very much under construction. I don't know. They do mention that. It's not quite finished, but still apparently doing its job. Ith is taunted for a bit by Mersil, right? Mersil?
Yeah. Mersil.
I never pronounced that right in my head the whole time I was reading
I had
it.
The commander deck for a minute. It's super fun. Mersil just goes on his typical, like... Basically, the cage is siphoning power from Ith, as we hear in his mad ramblings.
Mm-hmm.
And is using it to, like, superpower his projects up above and keep all the mages in the Conclave, which is the wizard building that they're in that Ith used to run.
The wizard building.
Wizard building, dude.
of course.
And these wizards, when they're not terrified of Mersil, they're having a good time.
They are partying.
They're party wizards.
Yeah, they're drinking. Yeah.
The other faction of wizards, as far as I could tell, their only qualm with these wizards wasn't that they're evil, but that they party too much.
Yes, that they're not virgins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't realize that you could get laid and read books.
Yeah, this is the cooler college for sure. This is what I would want to go to.
This
is the party school.
Yeah, cool name. It's like going to UMass Amherst.
Yeah, of course.
So they go through that. The cage is made of quicksilver metal, so
it
can't escape. I think that's how they describe it.
Quicksilver?
Yeah.
Moonsilver?
Moonsilver metal,
maybe? I forget.
I think Moonsilver is like Innistrad, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think it's quicksilver metal they describe it as, but basically...
Something. So, it's called water silver. We go on to never get this right.
He's in a cage made of solid mercury. It's siphoning his power, and he's been here for a while, and there's a pit with maybe demons below him.
Maybe. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what's a hallucination at this point. He doesn't know if the ragged figure that appears to him is a hallucination. The rag man.
Yeah, I wish I had a personal assistant like this guy.
Oh, yeah, just quiet, efficient.
Doesn't make a noise.
Seemingly extremely powerful.
Yeah.
And
no
he
problem
asks
kidnapping
this...
boys.
Oh. All the boys you could ever want. And so asks this figure to help. Yep. And we cut to our guy.
Oh.
Joda.
Yep.
And now I wanted to wait till we were recording to ask you this. There is... Many descriptions of what Joda looks like in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Wispy, young, can hardly grow a beard. Where in translation was it lost then when the cover art was being commissioned for these books that Joda is Glenn Danzig?
It's crazy, dude.
Like, if you see the covers of this book, you see this like super tough guy,
also
long black
carrying
hair.
What I'm assuming is supposed to be the magic mirror that is a constant MacGuffin in this story, but looks like the bowling ball from Mystery Men when the bowler has her dad's head in the bowling ball.
It does.
He looks way cooler on the cover than he does in the book.
It wasn't until halfway through the book and all the references to the mirror that I kept looking at the cover. I'm like, oh, so that's Joda.
Same. I kind of thought it was Mersil.
That's
at
not
first.
Like some other character that we're going to be introduced to. No, we're stuck with Joda.
Yeah, he's not as cool as the cover of this book.
They had to give him some help. They did.
Yep.
And we see Joda being uncool with another beautiful misdirect here.
It sure is.
In the sense that we have Voska.
And I'd like to say, this is the first of several Boy Wizard origin stories we will participate in during this single novel.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh.
So right now he has a roguish running from the Inquisition master or like teacher named Voska.
And we're led to believe that they have a very deep relationship.
Which
and
we
that
never
Voska,
see.
and that Voska is going to be an enduring character in Joda's life. But that's okay. There's a lot of story that needs to be packed into this book. We don't have time for such frivolity.
Moving on.
So Voska's teaching Joda how to focus magic. And after some tries, Joda finally manages to, what, a big beam of light?
Yeah, I don't know what it... There's definitely some magic card that they're trying to reference, but I couldn't remember what it was. But literally just blinds everybody.
Yeah, and so that happens out there in the woods, and seemingly triggers these band of goblins to attack them.
Yep.
Voska dispatches a couple with a fireball. Joda just kind of stands there helplessly.
Mm-hmm.
Dispatches some goblins right just in time for the Church of Tal.
Tal. I think it's Tal.
Yeah, Tal. To show up and arrest them for using magic.
It's so cool.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is right.
All right.
As far as I could tell from this book, the only tenets of the Church of Tal is to kill wizards. That's their whole religion, is killing wizards.
All wizards.
Which makes sense because it's coming off the tail end of the Brothers' War, and the common people think that Urza and Mishra were wizards, but they were, in fact, artificers.
Artificers. There's a massive difference.
Robots.
Yes. And they just, you know, hate all magic, so they just arrest them on the spot. And bring them back to Al-Sor to be tried before another big character here.
Primata Delphine.
Primata Delphine has a card. I didn't...
Tall drink of water.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I always envisioned her reading the book as Brienne from Game of Thrones.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That build, except like definitely with a fetish kink. Like you're getting all white Christian like latex suit when you get to bed with her. Yeah.
Yeah. And so... Again, has a card like Witch Hunter, but I didn't like that. Another newer card.
Some of the problematic cards that have recently been banned from Magic for being problematic cards are part of this story.
Oh, absolutely they are. Most of them even.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll touch upon that maybe. Probably not. But one card that we see on display here in this next scene is Inquisition.
Sure
right
is.
Up in the art, you see... Are we led to believe that maybe this is Voska in the art? Or one and only depiction of Voska?
I guess so. He's bald.
Bald man with a red. I mean,
he's
it
having
tracks,
a hard
right?
time.
Old man with some red.
Yeah. Also, this is before magic stopped being so literal. So mages wear the colors of the magic that they're good at.
Yeah, because you got to know.
It makes it real easy to figure it out. You
Which
know?
Is, you know, it's easy for writing anyway. my recollection of this scene is... This is funny because they have them just surrounded, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this like this big church. I mean, presumably surrounded by dozens of guards. And at one point, Joda, you know, is bid by Voska to conjure another big ray of light that enables them to just jump out a window.
While these mage hunting wizards are all staring at
them. We're all just like, what kind of magic is this?
Yeah. I've never seen a flashlight
elite
before.
Elite mage hunters, but no light in my eyes. So they fumble long enough for them to both kind of jump out a window, and Voska very wisely decides, we're going to split up.
Always the best strategy.
Oh, wow. And so... you know, ultimately maybe sacrificing himself so that Joda can escape. Joda ducks into an alley where he is confronted by a familiar figure.
Yeah, the Ragman
that we saw earlier speaking to Ith. And the Ragman doesn't speak.
Mm-mm.
And the Ragman simply, points to a crate for Joda to hide in?
Yes, sir.
And so the Ragman's sort of gaslighting and grooming of Joda begins by helping him out of trouble and helping him.
But he's not above actually kidnapping him and setting up very elaborate schemes to get him separated from it, what he's doing.
He's not above trading priceless artifacts to merfolks just to kidnap.
I've never thought merfolk were so filthy until this book. Scaly bastards.
God, fucking bastards.
He escapes.
He escapes and ends up in Ged.
Yep. which is just another city.
Just another city for
who
that.
Is kind of at war with Al-Sor.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without looking at a map, we can assume it's like a little ways off, far enough for him to just kind of duck in and hide.
Yeah.
So he's there. The Church of Tal is looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
His fearless mentor, Voska,
is
scattered
is
to the wind.
He's got to get back to Al-Sor.
Well, if I've read a fantasy book before, Maddie, Voska's going to show up again.
He's just fine, yeah.
He's going to, you know, show up at the dire hour.
It's his poignant emotional father figure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, so in the meantime, Joda, stuck again, just starts...
selling dime bags.
Selling drugs, frankly. For Mother Dobbs?
Oh, also, for those keeping track at home, this is Boy Wizard... coming of age story too.
Yep.
He's now a street urchin
now
who
a
sells
urchin.
Drugs.
Yep. That's we're point by point right here.
Yep.
Following these.
We're about 30 pages into
is,
the book.
Is Mother of Dobbs Mother of Runes?
I think so.
I think so too.
I
almost included it in the doc.
Or but. Academy Rector is the other thing I could think
oh,
of.
Oh yeah.
But Mother Dobbs is like this lady, she makes homemade ale, like basically fake potions for people. And what Joda is doing is at night making real potions for people and delivering them. But just
kind of ends up getting Mother Dobbs caught. So good job, Joda. Jumping ahead a little bit, but like, well fucking done.
She's
dude.
A nice old lady, and I'm sure nothing bad happened to
she's
her
a
during
nice old
the
lady.
Church interrogation.
She's a nice old lady, but Joda wants someone a little more bad.
You know, bad bitches, dude.
And you're selling drugs in the city. It's only a matter of time before these blue clad girls with bangs show up.
Yep.
And
it happens
incapacitate you in an alleyway somewhere.
I can't walk across Elm Park with a blue-clad,
the amount of times
blue-clad
this has fucking happened to me.
With the slender body of a greyhound.
Oh my gosh.
As this Jeff Grubb describes.
As Jeff Grubb so eloquently described. So this, you know, he's running drugs one night. This mysterious alt girl jumps out, incapacitates him with some kind of blue spell he's never experienced before, and then flees.
Mm-hmm.
The guards are following her, and he thinks maybe him, but maybe not. I don't really know what happened. She just kind of confronts him but tells him nothing.
It's
really.
Very bizarre because
yeah,
it seems like she went out of her way to
follow him.
To follow him.
And then it's just like, all right,
knocks
bye.
Him out, steals his magic potions,
yeah.
and lets him get arrested
that's
by the
it.
Church.
Doesn't take an artifact from him or anything. Well, nope. He doesn't get arrested by the church.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Mother Dobbs does.
Yeah.
And so witnessing that his employer and, you know, higher up on the, you know, the totem pole there is arrested, he's like, oh, it's only a matter of time before I get pinched.
And
I better join the army.
And it's not like he has the immense emotional link to her as he does with Voska. So
yeah.
He's like, you know what? They'll let her out eventually. Just let the Inquisition torture her.
I gotta get
the fuck out
I
of gotta, town.
I'm gonna join the army.
Yep.
I'm out of here. And that's what
Boy
he does.
Wizard journey number three.
Yep. Yeah, there we go. Now you are now a pawn in the army. And now let's see what you do with this.
Army training,
seemingly does just fine.
Yeah.
Assimilating with the army to the point where his unit is attacked. Well, they're fighting the Church of Tal,
yeah.
right?
No, 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 no. So
no.
It seems like the Church of Tal is kind of working both sides of this conflict to drum up the war, to kind of turn people to cement their ownership. So Al-Sor, where he came from, and Gehed, where he is, are at war, and he goes with the army of Gehed to Al-Sor. They are fighting in this foggy field, I guess.
Sure.
And randomly, because goblins are ravaging the earth during the Dark Ages,
yeah.
a huge army of goblins show up and... destroy both armies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
handedly.
Lay waste to both, which is...
And destroy Al-Sor. Al-Sor is like a
think.
Wasteland.
Yeah.
yeah,
yeah, of course. So mm-hmm. they're just roaming Al-Sor. Joda is, you know, he gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is a weird part of the book where Jeff Grubb keeps time traveling for this section, where he describes the battle where he gets lost and then describes him hiding out in the city back
right.
and forth, which... he never does anywhere else in the
yeah,
book.
Yeah, that
I,
was cute.
Yeah, it was
nice.
I liked it.
That was
yeah.
a nice touch. A
little
jumping
flair.
Back and forth, a little writer's flair. And didn't stop me from being a little bit confused about what was going on
Same.
At this point. But
I was also smoking a lot of weed while I read this book.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you know, of course. It's the only way. It's the only way to really read these books. So, Maddie, you pointed out, this is one that I definitely missed. He is in some town square somewhere where a troop of goblins comes in and he has to hide. He is helped again by the Ragman.
Yes. Yeah.
Who kind of points and has Joda hide in a fountain.
Right. So the fountain is described disgustingly. Murky, algae-covered water, slimy.
Sure.
But also the three lion heads are described briefly, and we know it is the Fountain of
that's
Youth.
That's what it is. Yep. Okay, that's how you knew it. Yep. Great. Well, good catch, because, yeah, if you, the dark card, Fountain of Youth, zero mana. Pay two, tap, gain one life.
Woo, what that value. Rate, baby.
So we are led to believe that Jodah hides in this fountain, pays the two because it says that his leg starts to feel better.
Well, because he has to submerge because the goblins come over to take a drink. And yes. The goblins have a fun conversation. Also, Team Goblins, best faction in Magic, best faction in D&D. Goblins are the best in caves.
Sure are.
But yeah, so he ducks under the water and is under there for like a long time waiting for them to go away. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back up, he notices that he has like a tingly sensation in his wounded knee.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
And also apparently is immortal now?
He's immortal now, yeah. Well, right. We'll go into that in the second book. Yeah. He's immortal to the naked eye, but not to real immortals.
Yeah, not to real ones. He escapes and then makes it to Al-Sor to learn that the conflict has actually ended.
Yeah.
Since he's kind of been lost. And now has a new charge as a soldier of Ged to escort Prima Delphine.
The what a woman.
Where is she going?
She's going to Ged because they're near Al-Sor. Al-Sor is riddled by plague, maybe, but that never comes into
Listen,
play.
There's no map at the beginning of this book. There should be, like any good fantasy book, no map. So I had no idea.
Also, due to the poor editing, sometimes the wrong proper nouns are in the wrong places.
Oh, there's a big disclaimer about that. Yeah. It's like, or about the closeness and spelling of like the two Keld places. Anyway.
But there's like a whole chapter of this book where I'm pretty sure he calls Jodah Marisil, or at least for multiple pages.
So. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, fucking hell. Yep. That probably sent me for a loop. All right. We have a lot of plot to cover.
Yes,
keep
going.
We best get back, because while he's transporting Prima Delphine, or part of the company that's doing so, he sees that they have a number of wizards captured, one of which being the blue-clad girl with bangs.
Who he was not looking for. He's hoping to see Voska in the cages. But no, he sees this blue woman who's still just described as blue woman.
And so he finds a way to speak to her in private.
Yep.
Learns from her that Voska is dead.
Yeah, yep. She
now, we don't see Voska die on camera, so to speak, so anything's possible.
Also, how would she know of all the mages that were executed who this guy is? Because she has no reason to know Voska.
She's a blue mage, though. She's
true.
Omnipotent.
True. Yeah, brainstorm, divination.
She's got some cantrips.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, though, she teaches Jodah a cantrip. Or some sort of low-level white spell to slip a disc of light in between her handcuffs there and free her from her magic Quicksilver bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, she gives him like a really, how do we put this, pointed, almost out of the Magic the Gathering Player's Manual description of basic lands.
Yes.
Those pulling from open countryside, the farms, the fields, even large grasslands, their mana tends to be white. Those who remember the mountains tend to think of their energy as being red. I often see the energies as a blue ball, and my memories are of home as well, which is an island community. Those who live within forests have green mana, and those whose memories are of swamps, fens, and bogs have black mana.
So that's what the lands are.
Yep, that's what lands do, canonically. Yep. When you're casting a spell, you are simply just remembering
the place you grew up. So now he's on to Magical Tutor number two.
Magical Tutor number two.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, they're going to form like a really deep bond, and this is going to be a recurring character.
For the whole series.
For the whole series, yep. for multiple books, definitely.
Yeah.
This is what's being set up, you know, if we've read one fantasy novel. But not before they fight Prima Delphine.
As so, they escape, yeah.
So, oh, and we learn, do we actually learn her name yet?
Maybe. Her name's Seema.
Yes, but it's very long.
Because is this when he frees her from the tent, right? They make camp, and he frees her from the tent because his big dumb friend who he met at Big Dumb Guard School, he tricked into Big Dumb letting him go into the tent.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think this is when she reveals her name is Seema. I don't know why this information was kept hidden the whole time.
Yeah, well, she has to be mysterious. Yeah,
very mysterious.
To keep her air
in
mystery.
Blue.
In blue. And so she goes and helps a couple of other mages escape, including a necromancer they hint upon. Which
The part about him, when they describe the exact card animate dead for how they are.
I love the spot on
card
descriptions. There are a lot of good ones coming up too. And so it isn't until Prima Delphine has a flaming sword.
She summons a flaming sword. Which isn't magic.
No, that's not magic.
Those are miracles.
That is religion.
Yeah.
That is
her religion is kicking wizards' asses.
Yeah.
Which she starts to do until...
until the magic mirror, or the bowling ball, as it's depicted on the cover of the book. What is it? Just deflect her magic?
It does, It just deflects it back. Oh, I would like to read... I have a quick passage mark, because during their joust, this paragraph made my brain hurt.
Okay.
So basically, she goes to hit Jota with her sword, and in this description, he puts this mirror and his sword up to defend himself.
Mm.
Unfortunately, this is how it's written, and when I was very high, I could not understand what was happening. The flame from Priestess's sword struck the crossed mirror and sword. That's where the second sword is what got me. Hesitated for a second, and then doubled back, leaving Jota unharmed. The holy fire struck the Primata in the chest. When her robes now glowed of a new radiance, of the crimson flame of burning cloth, the Primata screamed, and her flaming blade disappeared, and she dropped to the ground, rolling to extinguish the blaze, the slope carrying her down the hill. It's like three run-on sentences in a row. It's weird how he described the swords meeting.
Yeah.
I was like, "What? Who has a sword? What sword is it hitting?"
Jeff, we love you. It's just not R.A. Salvatore level combat.
No. And I'm sure if you got another pass at it, it'd be much better.
Oh, Jeff, we love you, man.
Yeah, we give you all the time in the world to write this book.
But yeah, she falls down a hill on fire.
She does, yep.
And allows them to escape on horseback.
And we never see her again, unlike these other characters.
No, never. She's gone. See them again. She burned to death.
Yep.
And so they make it to a safe house.
Yes.
Where they do some little lantern lighting to find passage in a boat.
Yeah, they just like, here's the thief. Oh, wait, part four. The Thieves Guild part of
it. Oh, here we go. Yeah. We spend a lot of time here.
Well, blast right through it. Part five.
No, part
boat
five.
Journey.
Yeah, part five, boat journey. to City of Shadows.
Yeah.
And that is what you're referring to as the cooler name for the Wizards Guild.
It's like a bunch of.
Or
like
the magic building. What'd you call it?
Magic House.
The Magic House.
Yeah, so this magic house is, they're snootier, snootier. They have way less fun. Again, they don't get laid, but they did call their school the City of Shadows and eventually the School of the Unseen.
Yeah.
And they're nerds.
The City of Shadows, though, when you put it in the context of it, is a bunch of nerds naming it that. It's actually really cool.
We're
going to
be called the City of Shadows.
Exactly. So that's where they're going. And, you know, there's some more tutelage that happens on this boat trip. More
reluctantly.
Yeah. More descriptions of land, basic lands.
Sure.
Pretty spot on description from Seema about how artifacts are also very important.
The third path.
Yeah. And finally, the City of Shadows is and their master who did not side with Mishra or Urza. In one of the many references, actually, to the Brothers' War that.
Yeah. And actually, specifically, that character would be Felden.
Yeah.
Felden the Third Path, who that's maybe a separate lore episode for him because his story's fucked. That's tragic, dude.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, then I'll do it real quick. Basically, Felden's wife died, Takasia. She is a character in the Brothers' War. She dies. She's also a follower of the Third Path. He is so in love with her, he goes to seek masters of every type of mana to resurrect her. And when he gets to the Black... he does finally resurrect her, but she's a zombie!
No!
And it breaks his heart.
Oh.
And so his card's depicted of him, like, looking at a sad robot version of his wife, which is what he started
with. Jesus.
It's super sad. Felden's cool.
Felden and his cane.
Yep.
Yeah. Seema exclaims in the alley encounter, Felden's cane.
Yes.
As, like, an expletive.
Yeah, like Thor's hammer or something.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
Yep.
So they're on the boat, you know, and then one night...
yeah, they're on the ship, chilling.
A big old storm hits, or at least they think.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's just those fuckers.
Those merfolks.
Those fucking bastards.
Yeah.
Jumping up. And they don't really know, you know, it's not evident at first why they're being attacked, probably just being looted, they think. So they defend themselves against the merfolk, or they try to.
Yeah, Image...
Joda struggles to use any kind of relevant spell still.
Yeah, he's bad. He's very bad at magic.
You know, hasn't learned
Swords of Plowshares
yet.
The Archmage Eternal,
yet.
Very
yeah.
bad.
Well, hey. Yeah. Well, not yet. Now he's just apparently a scraggly little kid. So during this attack, Joda is separated from his mirror, and he has this, oh, he has this heartbreaking moment. Or Seema.
Yeah. So the boat's sinking.
Yeah.
The merfolk have succeeded.
Yep.
At whatever they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat is sinking, and they're pillaging and doing whatever. And he sees the mirror. It's sliding down the deck towards the water. But Joda's hanging on by a finger. And Seema's coming. And she's coming. And she runs right by him and grabs his fucking
Dude.
Mirror.
Brutal.
Yeah, well, that's the end of that tutelage.
Brutal. That's how it ends with those alt-bang girls, yeah. dude, by the way.
So they both
they just want your magic mirror.
That's it. They're always trying to get my magic mirror.
They're always after me magic mirror. So they plummet into the... Or Joda plummets in the
both
water.
Both of them do, yeah. You see they them both go into the water.
Loses consciousness, only to awake.
On a beach,
on a
boy.
Beach.
After he's and carried... Beautifully
well,
by
we,
the rest.
So we don't see this.
Oh, true, true.
Or Joda doesn't, rather.
Yeah, yeah, it's described afterwards.
The merfolk, which, by the way, I found the card Merfolk Assassin from
That's
the Dark.
That's definitely what that is.
Definitely kind yep. of the inspiration for
that
this
art. That art rules, dude. Yep. Magic art is too samey now. I love this old weirdness.
These old paintings, man. Yeah. And even like next to this, I have the card City of Shadows, which is a card, also looks fucking sweet.
Oh, it's sick.
We cut to the Rag Man.
Chilling
on a beach.
Chilling on a beach.
Just chilling. Saying nothing like he does. He doesn't have to say shit.
No words from that guy.
Couple merfolk pull up out of the water, and he gives them an ornate coral helm.
Yes.
Is that a card?
It is called Coral Helm,
it's,
I believe.
No shit.
Yeah.
I didn't even look. Well, whatever it was worth...
one boy.
Worth exactly one boy. Because they then, in turn, hand... Joda's seemingly lifeless body over to the Ragman. In exchange for this helm, the Ragman starts a fire in a dune somewhere and lays him next to it.
Which is so weird because of what happens next. Like,
and just waits, right?
That's, yeah.
They make
he
a
waits
thing.
For him to wake up, and then he just leads Joda to this cave.
Yep.
Just bring him to the cave, dog!
No, he's gotta... He can't start fires in the cave.
Part of his journey. That's the Coral Helm.
Coral Helm.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Is it good? What does it do?
It's an artifact from Antiquities.
Oh.
Pay 3 to cast it. 3 colorless. Discard a card at random from your hand to give a target creature +2/+2 until end of
Holy
turn.
Holy shit.
Man, going down a card for +2/+2
yeah.
at 3 mana?
Hey.
Damn. That's how you win games, baby. That's
gotta,
how you win Grand Prix.
Only got to do that 5 times.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. That's how you win. Yeah, for back then, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Joda wakes up and... The Ragman is just standing off in the distance, staring at him.
Yep.
Like some gross fucking...
Pervert.
Yeah.
Watched him
pervert,
sleep the whole
frankly,
night.
Frankly, honestly, yeah.
Paid other men, fishmen, to kidnap him and then watched him sleep.
Paid these filthy merfolk.
These filthy fishmen.
And when he finally, you know, regains consciousness enough to get up and follow him, he just leads him to a cave that had these, what, benches carved into the side?
Yeah.
And they just sit.
They do.
The Ragman doesn't say anything, presumably can't speak.
Yep.
Joda tries him.
He has a lantern. He has a lantern he puts in the middle of them.
Yep. And Joda, like, tries to, like, come at him, I think, maybe with a spell or something, and is dispelled immediately.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Yeah, we see the Ragman is way out of Joda's league.
Oh, big time. And instead, they just sit, and I forget what the catalyst is, but they...
Yeah, like the lantern lights up, and then they go to go outside, and it's not that beach anymore.
No, it is.
No, it's the Wizard House.
The Ragman used what we learned to be called safe havens, I think.
Yes, yes.
To teleport them, and...
Yeah, basically the idea is there's these rooms set up by the Conclave Lord Ith himself that let you fast travel, basically.
Yeah,
they're
fast travel points.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yep.
Done. And so they fast travel to...
It ain't no Silt Strider, but it'll do.
It'll do. It'll certainly do. It's just a cave. They see a big maze.
Yeah, they see...
In front of a big, it's a big citadel tower-looking thing.
House of Wizards.
House of Wizards.
Yeah, Wizard Home.
Is there a name for this one that I didn't write down?
This is the Conclave.
The Conclave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a cool name, too.
Yeah. There might be a descriptive word before Conclave, but in my head, it's just the Conclave.
Yeah. So...
It doesn't matter.
Joda seemingly waltzes... through this maze, no problem, to get to the front door.
Easy
I guess
because
it's not done. Or maybe the Ragman leads him.
It must be that. No, I think what happens is he comes out in a place between the maze and the conclave.
Oh, I see.
So he sees the maze off in the distance.
Uh-huh.
Makes a note that it's under construction.
Somehow knows.
Somehow knows. Yeah. This, like, dude's in hard hats.
Yeah.
Like, my maze wants this to triple back.
Oh, man. Yeah, he hasn't been around to direct construction for a decade.
Yeah,
dude,
they've been taking their union breaks a little too seriously.
And so he walks up to the front door, and in a pure... for all of you Skyrim players out there, this is just straight up the College of Winterhold's admission. Show me a spell, and in you go. And the only spell he knows is Blinding Light, so he does that. I recall him being like pretty arrogant about it, actually.
Yeah, he's like, ha, keep
like
me out, will ya?
Shit. Yeah.
Because, no, the dude doesn't ask to, he's like, prove you're a wizard. And Yoda's like, I don't know, just let me in. And then the guy gives him attitude, so Yoda blasts him in the eyeballs.
Blasts him in the eyeballs.
He knocks on the thing again so it pops open, and then he blinds this dude right to the eyeball.
But then the guy's a good sport. He's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, you
I like the cut of your jib. Come on in.
Fair.
And this is when we are then cut, and it introduces us to, well, once again to Marisil.
Yep.
So now we know, from the beginning of the book,
here it is.
We are.
Ith is right below us. Yeah, Barl. Barl is the High Artificer of this conclave.
Great blue card, as I recall. I like to play that one that discounts your spells or whatever.
No, that's Barl.
No shit!
Yes. There is an A.
This entire time I thought, I think I actually had
that's an Aetherborn or whatever.
I had a Barl. Oh, yep. I was going to say, I don't remember.
I don't know
this.
If Barl has his own card, but he is...
He's just an artificer, too.
The cage that is depicted...
Yeah.
Ithin is Barl's cage, is the name of the card.
So do we want to...
let's do this right now. So, Jeff Grubb is writing all this based on blurbs and whatever storyboarding they have, right? So the blurb at the bottom... Hold on, I actually... have the quote written, and I will not be able to remember this from memory. So basically, pre-revisionist, the idea was Lord Ith would be a title for whoever was running the conclave, was the original lore. Now, he is mentioned, Barl, Lord Ith, is mentioned on the card, Dark Spheres from the Dark, and it's I was struck senseless for a moment, but revived when the strange curiosity I carried fell to the ground, screaming like a dying animal. Barl, comma, Lord Ith. Jeff Grubb read this as Barl to Lord Ith, and so the two became separate characters. Lord Ith was originally supposed to just be the title of whoever was running the school. Now it's two dudes.
Now separate it's two guys. Dudes. Now it's an artificer and another wizard.
A Lord High Wizard in a cage.
In a maze.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. All right.
Yeah.
I like that more.
And Barl's
a
dick.
Barl is gruff, huh?
Yeah, he's depicted like every artificer ever far as these grumpy types of lore. He's grumpy, he's not a people person, and he's basically Marisil's bitch.
Yeah, he's jealous.
Yeah.
He doesn't have magic. He's just got little scarabs that write.
Good for you, man.
He's like, oh, I got speech to text too, dude. He's got Siri.
Yeah, so he meets Barl and Marisil. Marisil is the most fun character in the book.
Yeah, Marisil's a great character, I thought.
Yep.
Kind of your standard, like, villain, whatever.
Not doing anything out of the box,
but
entertaining.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it has some really good dialogue as well. And they together are trying to craft a calendar.
Yes.
And we learn a little more about why. But right now they just start talking about this calendar and these like various parts that Barl's underlings have made and how they're not good enough and all this minutia. The minutia of running a conclave. It never ends.
Hey man, I'm in management too.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot.
There you go. See, you understand. You and Marisil are basically the same person.
We are. I have the previous general manager of my dispensary also locked in the basement.
There you go. In a cage.
In a cage, yeah.
Over
I'm also siphoning his power.
Well, good. As you should be.
Yep.
It'd be a waste. So they want to test Yoda. And in doing so, they kind of just drop him into a little gladiator pit.
Yeah, so here's number 6. He's fighting in an arena.
Fighting in an arena to prove his worth. And it's like this automaton?
It's an automaton, thing?
Automaton, I don't know why I said
I
it that
think
way.
When it's described as having like a reptilian head, so I thought that card's Su Chi.
Mm-hmm.
But tonally, that doesn't fit. So I think it was just Brass Man. But it's like a shitty robot.
Brass, shitty robot left over from the Brothers War.
Yeah, it's not even, Barl didn't even build it. It's just like a
But he's got a bunch, I guess.
Yeah.
And he tries to fight it fair and square. with a sword. Shouldn't do that.
That's not how you beat a robot.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, come on, you're auditioning for the conclave of like wizards.
Yeah.
They're not just going
to
throw.
He's going to have to pull
sword.
Something we've never seen before.
Oh, is it going to be another white spell?
Sure is.
Disenchant.
Boom.
Let's
does
Let's try it. Destroy target artifact. But that's not the mode they choose. They choose enchantment, apparently.
Yes.
To destroy the enchantment that animates.
Yeah. He makes a point of
a little circuitous
letting them know that he was. Knew that Barl wouldn't want his creation destroyed, so he only temporarily dispelled it.
What a guy.
So that he could, you know, use the robot later.
Anyway, there he goes. And just like that, admitted to the number one party wizard school.
Sick.
On Dominaria. Things are finally looking up for Joda. Meanwhile,
yeah,
Seema
not doing
is revealed to, well, not doing great, but is revealed to also be alive.
Yep.
And in possession of the mirror.
Yeah.
And in order to find Joda, for some reason, why she's all of a sudden like, I gotta find this kid.
Yeah.
Who knows? But hey, she does a spell to lose like a memory of hers or something in order to see Joda's location in the mirror.
Yep.
And sees that he's at the Citadel. And now I forget, she get there through the same safe haven?
No, she straight up
hoofs it.
Yes.
Has not unlocked, yeah. Enemies nearby, whatever it is, she can't fast
travel. Every
travel.
Time they touch back with her, she's a little bit closer, yep. But she does not get to use the safe havens. She might use other magic things, but it seems like she just goes over land because when, well, we'll get to that, but Delphine ends up looking for her.
Well, that's right now.
Cause, yeah, yeah.
So, because the only other thing that happens after she locates him is Joda is given this ward. By Marisil to kind of shield
and also
him.
We find out she knows it's the Conclave when she figures out where he is.
Right. She's
and
aware of
they're
it.
They're bad wizards.
They're bad wizards.
Very bad.
They're, yeah. They're
naughty
not
wizards.
Fucking dorks like her.
Yeah, they don't study hard.
No. They just party and
yeah.
eat.
Have food fights in the cafeteria, literally.
But apparently competent enough to have wards that help them avoid detection from scrying, which this is placed upon Joda, which causes Joda's location to all of a sudden just
bloop.
Become lost to Delphine.
Luckily, she already knows where she's going.
Yeah, and is instead just bosses her underling around to be like, okay, we'll find Seema instead.
Yeah.
And
which is, like, so fortuitous, because there's no reason why Seema should know where he is either.
Yeah. She doesn't know that maybe she knew they were together. I don't know.
But you know Delphine. She's like, one wizard's as good as another. As long as I'm killing wizards, we're cool.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that lit me on fire with my own definitely
oh, right.
not magic.
She knows they're together. Oh, yeah. They fought together. Okay. Yep. That makes sense. So she then goes and has a meeting with, like, basically the Pope of the Church of Tal, who's
very fat.
Very fat, apparently, and is very snide in his remarks about almost straight up just being like, yeah, well, you know, we use magic.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, Delphine. Grow up.
Come on, bro.
And she doesn't. Like, straight up.
She's a true believer.
A true believer.
In the god of killing wizards.
Yep, and that's all she wants. So he's just like, cool, well, whatever. I like your energy. Fine. Go. Yeah. Go get him.
Go enjoy your crusade.
Go enjoy your crusade. And that is what she does. So back to the Citadel.
Oh, we're in the Wizard House.
Sorry.
Wizard dorms are bumping.
Wizard House. Wizard dorms are bumping. They're eating dinner. They're animating their dinner. They're having their dinner fight.
It's very silly.
And
it's bizarrely, tonally out of whack in this book. This scene of them having wizard battles with their carcasses of their
straight
food.
Out of Harry Potter.
Yep.
And he also meets his, you know, Shannon.
Yeah, the big dumb wizard.
Yeah, because if you're going to be the smart, small wizard, you got to have the big dumb friend.
He already had a big dumb friend in the army.
Yep.
That guy's long gone. He probably got him executed
him killed.
And now we got another one.
And he's going to fuck him over too?
Oh,
eventually.
Of course.
Yeah.
Being near Joda is not good for
your
health.
Being near Joda is not good for anybody.
Yeah.
And so he is first tasked with transcribing texts in the library.
Yeah.
With which he uses one of Barl's nice little inventions that I... alluded to earlier, a little scarab or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's like a little beetle robot.
Yeah, it's a little beetle robot that writes for you, that you dictate to.
It dictates anything you say until it runs out of ink, importantly, they say, because it will be relevant
later. Oh, relevant here pretty soon.
I would also like to say, we're skipping over some of this, but Joda is the most gullible person in the history of fantasy novels.
Oh, yeah.
He just, everything that's told to him, he believes it and he just rolls with it.
Because why wouldn't he?
Like, oh, Marisil's my friend. I guess I'll just work here. I'm in this cool wizard school.
Yeah.
Yep.
Marisil, yeah, he doesn't seem weird.
Yeah, people don't seem like they're being held hostage here at all. Yeah. They had so much fun doing
There's not like
fight.
Some other tier of person who's in this conclave that are essentially just now slaves that I almost was.
Sorry, they're called servants and they have special collars, Ben.
Yeah.
And if you...
Jesus.
And if you... And if you fail the gladiatorial trial of the wizard school,
you get
you
a
become
collar,
a servant.
And you're
you
washing
get a
floors.
Sweet servant collar.
Well, everybody else gets to use magic.
Not one servant is named in the entirety of this book. It is straight up slave class.
They don't have names.
Yeah.
Why would we even bother?
Number two, please come in here.
Yeah, exactly.
I've spilled my wizard wine all over my wizard undies.
My wizard wine. Barl and Marisil are drinking some wizard wine in private.
They are. Being bad guys.
During their fun dinner that's happening. And Marisil kind of points out that, so Joda, in his interview with Barl a little earlier, mentions that he did maybe have a relative who had some magic ability.
Yeah. Rumor is, down the line.
Rumor is, down the line, there was this guy named Jarseel.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
Turns out he's hot shit.
Turns out that's a big deal
for
Marisil, because that's... The whole reason for the calendar and everything he explains.
Yeah, have we revealed it yet? Are we still waiting for
the big
reveal?
We can reveal it now. I feel like it's coming up.
So he's found these texts from Jarseel's ancestor, or Jarseel.
That he's been poring over for like 10 years,
apparently.
Yeah,
super wizard. Stealing power from another super wizard.
Yep.
Still hasn't been able to decipher these, but because Joda shares a bloodline, and maybe the great-great-great-grandson of Ursa himself, Lord High Artificer, through Jarseel, who was supposedly the child of him and Queen Kayla bin Krug, who was Urza's very reluctant wife. Marisil's like, cool, this guy will figure out how to help me. I read about these Phyrexians that supposedly can make
these
me a planeswalker.
Yeah,
they didn't seem that bad, so if we just open up a portal to them and I'll be a planeswalker, I'll be all powerful.
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen? Let's just open the portal right here in the middle of the...
And this is before planeswalkers were even a card type or a bulk rare.
Oh.
This is like planeswalkers were godly power. Like wizards are... Wizards are to regular people as planeswalkers are to wizards.
Yes, it is. It is. It's alluded to a bit in this book, the presence of planeswalkers in Dominaria, and just like,
they're just like viewed as these godlike beings.
Yeah,
it's not about traveling the planes. Marisil has no intention of doing that. He just wants to be in charge and live forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fair.
And they're going to use the stone calendar to do it.
So that's what they're... So stone calendar, another card from the dark, that's what they're building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how they know when a plane is coming into, like, reach, I suppose, of their current plane that they can maybe...
Yeah, they need it so they can pinpoint the ritual that they need to open the hole.
Yeah, and so, well...
Jarseel didn't apparently get a card until... An arena exclusive.
Yeah, the only card Jarseel has is a gruel colored card.
From Alchemy.
So anyway, that was worth including.
Bye, Jarseel.
Bye, Jarseel.
We'll never hear about you again.
because Joda, in the meantime, is spending a lot of his breaks just looking at mountains and contemplating red spells.
Yeah. Was Voska a red mage?
I think it might be possible.
He wore red.
He did.
He shot a fireball.
Yeah, but...
He was precocious.
He was precocious. that
But
alone.
I can't be sure.
We can't be sure. We can never be sure. Maybe Voska will tell us one day.
That'd be... Yeah, when he turns up.
When he turns up, eventually. Thinking more about the colors of magic, speaking to Marisil, Marisil brags that he has employs all five colors and flashes his rings, does he not, of all five
he
colors?
Does. Yeah, a little gaudy.
Yeah, a little bit.
And Joda's really caught on to the air of fear from the other wizards.
Right.
He's like... Still trusting, because he's working directly with Marisil. Marisil's having, like, private meetings with him.
Yeah, which is nuts.
He's not doing that with anybody, or anybody that gets seen again. And my dude is straight up like...
This is normal.
Normal.
This is fine.
And then he's like, maybe it's not
Been
normal.
Here for a couple weeks. Of course, the headmaster guy's taking a special
And it's
interest.
Not full suspicion yet until the first experiment. Then it's full-on suspicion. But right now, he's just like, everybody seems upset. I'm going to ask my big, dumb idiot friend.
So exactly. So he's a bit... suspicious, so he purposely gets his friend Shannon drunk.
Yep.
Like, and
what a dick.
Yeah, what
also
a dick. What a sociopath. This is just the beginning of like the...
Oh, Joda's off. Joda is the villain of this
Joda
book.
Is the villain of the whole series for sure. The way he treats people and manipulates people. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. He gets him drunk to get information about, you know, hey, why do people fear this, Marisil guy?
What's the deal with Marisil?
Yeah, and he finds out, kinda. I think he learns a little bit about how former headmaster.
Yeah, he finds out that the former High Mage, talks about him.
Headmaster.
He disappeared. Marisil may be involved. But Shannon, even while intoxicated, knows, says almost nothing.
Yeah, knows enough not to rat.
Yeah.
Because, as we find out, snitches in this school
do indeed get stitches.
Do indeed have their fingers broken.
And sometimes random wizards are used and killed by books as an example.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the funsies of it.
As Joda, this never really is explained or pays off, but yeah, the next day in the library, a book goes to try to attack Joda.
Yeah.
Presumably because someone knows that he heard some shit.
Yes.
But we never find out who did that or why or anything
that. Yeah, he disenchants the book, but not before it kills some random...
seriously maimed some other guy. Yeah,
who may have been the wizard that summoned it, because he's like, oh, there's this weird other wizard in the library right now.
Yeah, I've never seen him before. Yeah. Wild. And
I didn't see you on the quad, bro.
That happens.
Yeah.
And,
Shannon gets his hand broken, and he gets sent on garden duty.
Garden duty. Yeah. Where he doesn't want to talk to Joda anymore, and rightly so, because Joda sucks.
Yeah.
And so after this, Joda's summoned by Marisil to his private chambers late at night. I think it's revealed to Joda about Jarseel and the diary and all that.
Yeah,
because he's given his great-great-grandfather's diary.
He's proven he'll do his homework and that he can transcribe and has a knowledge of things. So he's like, here's your grandfather's diary. I want to know what spell he cast. Let's work on this together.
Mm-hmm.
And because Marisil can't figure it out.
No, it's Marcel's just stealing power from another mage. Yes. You know,
pretender again.
He's
the pretender.
Yeah, you know, thumbs through it and derives some information, but nothing really that crazy. Nothing concrete. Mostly just a lot of like, oh yeah, he lived in a shed.
It's literally like his great grandfather's diary.
Yeah, about cattle sales and things like that. And
it's hella boring.
Thinking about how like, oh, that land looks different now. That might have something to do with the mana.
Yeah,
and whatever. So he reports this back.
He thinks of his ancestral home because Jarseel had this tower that, when he was young, was destroyed at the edge of their property.
Right.
Apparently, Joda comes from a very wealthy family.
Yeah, seemingly.
Even though he's like an urchin at the beginning of the story, which is why I think he's like in his 35, maybe.
God, who knows, man.
But yeah, so he like remembers this burnt out, and he starts thinking about his home. This is why he starts thinking about the mountains, because you could see the mountains really clear from the tower.
Uh-huh. And so he thinks he's maybe got enough to bring back to Marisil, so they try this big open the portal to Phyrexia spell.
Yeah, no big deal.
No big deal. Small spell. Joda can totally handle it, except he can't.
He can't.
They do this whole ritual, and he builds up all of this mana. But what happened at this time, Maddie, you built up all this mana and you had nowhere to put it?
He got mana burnt, dog.
Yep. Anyway,
so mana burn
suffered from some serious mana burn there,
and he fails. So he fails, and Marisil absolutely loses his shit.
Yeah, he flips the fuck out.
The nice guy, he's full rage mode. Like Marisil's not someone that likes failure. He says it a lot of times.
Says it a lot, and Joda's real sad about this.
He's bummed, dude, and that leads us to Marisil and Barl talking after he leaves the room after he reams out Joda, and basically reveal that, you know, if Joda can't get it together on this next one, it's going to kill him.
Or he's also fine with, if Joda needs to die for me to open this portal, that's okay.
Whatever happens, I'm going to see Phyrexia.
Anyway,
Yog Daddy's calling. And unfortunately, in the corner, because they're documenting all their experiments, nobody's turned off the scarab. So it's all recorded.
Let's see if
And
that
Lord Ith always is recorded in red ink.
That's true, so you know it's him talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so later that night, Joda's all down on himself when who appears in Joda's little bunk there but the Ragman.
Our boy.
He can just get anywhere.
He's magical.
In silence.
Yeah.
And he bids Joda to follow him, and he does.
Mm-hmm.
And they go and find this secret passageway somewhere.
Yes, sir.
And down they go.
To Goblin Town.
down to, well, the past Goblin Town, and then down a few more flights, and then finally they come upon...
Wizard Prison.
Wizard Prison. This big pit in a cage, and some raving lunatic. Yeah,
desiccated, wild, just fully out of his mind, Lord Oath.
Yeah, and they have an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Tell me, which is better, madness or darkness? Have you brought me something, my ragman?
What? What is this?
This is Barl's cage. Yeah, that's what it is.
Barl is the artificer. Who are you?
Not Barl. I want you to know I am still sane. Oh yes, madness has been my sanctuary from the dark, but I am still sane. I am If.
And who are you, friend If?
Friend? Friend? I am no friend of the wizards here. I am If, the founder, the teacher, the lord. I am the master, and no friend of If has raised his hand against the pretender. Hello, If. It's the real If.
Ultimately, unable to convince Joda to free
him. Gets scared.
Joda gets really scared. He gets freaked out. And, you know, it's a little more illuminated now what's going on and why people may fear Mayor Seal, but not enough for Joda to do anything
about
it. And
this is one of the only times where he's wise enough where he's like, If also seems kind of crazy, so should I let this guy out?
Yeah.
Like, he has a moment of introspection, which is the only time he has any agency
pretty
in this
much.
Book.
Yep.
This is the only decision he makes
only
for
critical
himself.
Thinking skills. And even then, he just ends up, you know, just running back upstairs and just being like, I'm just going to forget I saw that for now.
I'm going to go back to work.
So he leaves him there, and then Seema then arrives at the Citadel, and arousing some suspicion from Barl and Marisil, and this is some wizard shit right here. Instead of just, like, dispatching her outright or denying her entry, they hatch a fun little plan to just have Joda kill her himself.
Yeah, because they've pieced together from him talking that this is the woman who stole his shit or who he was traveling with.
I see, so... Instead of
so again, they know she's from the school of nerds, and they know she's probably here for Joda, or as a spy for the City of Shadows,
right?
So his plan is to trick Joda into killing her, and in his grief, become the father figure that Joda needs, to complete this spell,
And maybe, maybe his grief will allow him to. Overcome not get mana burn this
whatever,
time. Who knows? It's a convoluted plan.
Because Marisil thinks he's pretty positive that Joda had what he needed to do it and that he was just reluctant to do it. So he needs to push Joda over that.
Oh,
last
is that
edge.
What it was?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That makes sense. It makes as much sense as
all the
things
rest
do
of
in this
nonsense.
Book. Yeah, of course. And so, in somehow, in the all of the mess of papers that Joda grabs on his way out of the office, or he comes back from Marisil's office. Oh, right, because he wants to pore over the journal and the writings once again.
But he left it there because he was scared.
Right, and so he picks that up as well as the paper that beetle,
he
the
breaks
scarab.
Into Marisil's office.
He does.
Yeah.
Which is, he just gets in no problem, apparently.
Well, he did have that 4-minute life as a thief.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hiding out skullduggery.
So he's got that skill set.
Yep.
Locked.
Yeah, so he breaks in, and then he breaks out, and... He has to pretend like he's looking for Marisil because who catches him as he leaves the hallway at 3 a.m? Marisil and Barl.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I was just coming to talk to you. And he's just like, nah, don't worry about it. We'll talk soon. Wink, wink. Take those papers back. Maybe you can find something. But what he doesn't realize is he has extra paper. He's got the paper that recorded the conversation between Marisil and Barl on it.
Yeah.
And learns of their intent.
And he's still not 100% positive.
He's not 100% positive. He does read in red ink that Marisil is like, oh, I will sacrifice this kid first chance I get. And he's just like, I don't know. I think there might be something a little weird about this guy.
But Lord Ith was crazy.
Anyway, I'm going to still do his bidding.
Yeah.
in fact, I'm going to go duel because they say I have to right now.
And it's during this night that he figures out what he was doing wrong. He, like, reconstructs in his mind palace the tower where Jarsil would have been sitting and can see the mountains and he can see the forest at the edge of his property and he can see the ocean. He can see all 5 colors of magic from the tower that when he was a kid was ruined, but in Jarsil's time
that's
was full.
Right.
Yeah.
He just didn't have the right colors of mana for that
spell. He needed all of them.
He needed more than just white.
Five apparently. For five, yeah.
Yep. And so he's got that figured out, but first he's going to duel some.
Yeah. And he's also like, he's doing a lot of like, do I bring it to Marisil?
Oh, maybe.
He's the only dude that's actually showed me how to make magic ever.
I guess. Maybe. I mean, he might.
But he also is going to kill me. But
allow me to get obliterated.
I did fuck up, though.
Anyway, I just got to dispatch this.
Yeah, now there's a special wizard duel that is different than the other wizard duel he participated in.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I had to fight an automaton, but then this person has to fight me to get in.
We're going
to
fight these two people, and we're going to wear ceremonial clothes.
Oh, yeah. That made no sense with the masks. One's like a lion and a dragon or something.
Yeah, the dragon. He's dressed in red as a dragon. She's dressed in all blue as a, I think, as a lion. Yeah. With a lion head. Anyway, they're disguised. They can't tell who each other are.
No idea. But the blue spells that are being cast against him seem strangely familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's picked up a few new tricks, and Joda just windmill slams that cop blue. Circle of protection blue.
Yeah, dude.
That's it. That'll do it.
And she's blasting away at it, but just to no avail.
No avail. He's got plenty.
He's got plenty of colorless mana to pump in. Ooh, damage from that source? No thanks. And damage from that source? No thanks.
Shoots like a lava dart or something at it? Yeah. Something enough to, you know.
Yeah, he pretends like he's going to flash lights in her eyes, and then instead underhand throws a fireball into her side.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is. It's cool.
It's a good play. And so, but then in. As this happens, like, her mask flies off or something. He sees that Seema, and then he runs over and uses his white spells now to heal her.
Yep.
And they have, like, a little talk.
Yeah, and it plays romantic, even though there's no setup for any their whole, kind of romance.
Their whole thing plays romantic a lot sometimes it's just not
it's
there.
Not there.
Yeah, it never was.
Like, he sets up the scenes like that's what it should be, but there's just no... Just like his relationship with Vaska, there's no development to it whatsoever.
None that you would at least assume would be.
It's just like, well, they're supposed to fall in love. That's what happens.
That's cool. I mean, they can just be friends.
Yeah. I mean, Seema's cooler than Joda.
Strong female... big time. Yeah.
Even though she goes to nerd wizard school.
Yeah, but she's like kind of one of the cool girls.
Yeah, she is. She smokes cigarettes.
She spends a lot of time outside doing illegal stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, she's gonna do her own shit. So they have like a little back and forth just in time for a big commotion to fall over the whole stadium. And it turns out the Citadel is under attack.
Yeah.
The Conclave. Do I keep saying Citadel?
You did, but it's okay.
Whatever. The Conclave. C word. Yeah. The Wizard House.
Wizard House.
It's under attack.
Yep.
By none other than Delphine.
Yeah. Her crew of a miracle worker, which is a magic card. She has a name, but it doesn't matter. She's a miracle worker. And Preacher, who also is a magic card,
sure is.
Whip up the nearby town below the Conclave into a frenzied mob.
Yep.
And with the forces of the Church of Tal, they lay siege to Wizard House.
They lay siege to Wizard House in the maze and everything. And it's just, I'm just picturing a dozen people with like scythes and pitchforks and stuff.
And the power of hating wizards.
Versus these elite level wizards.
And honestly, it goes well for them at
first. No, they crush. Yeah. They say a lot about like, well, you are the element of surprise. It's like, that shouldn't be enough. But
part of it too is because Delphine's at the lead, right? She's leading
Delphine's
from the front.
Like impervious.
And she's got her fucking holy armor on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She has her flaming holy sword.
Yeah, these are miracles.
Not magic.
Not
miracles.
Magic.
And it's just fucking everybody. Her little section... like, tears through the front door, gets deep into the Wizard House.
That's right, yeah.
And then the tides start to turn for them, because it is Wizard House.
It is Wizard House, after all. And Barl's there. He's got, like, a sick crossbow.
He does.
He uses that exactly one time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
to waste the Miracle Worker? Or the Preacher?
Yeah,
the Miracle Worker.
The Miracle Worker, yeah. And
Smokes her.
And so that happens. Meanwhile, Joda and Seema are like, should we fight? Nah, we should run downstairs because I had a think.
Yeah.
And I think that the crazy guy trapped in the basement may actually be important. I may actually have to deal with this.
I think I'm pretty positively convinced now that he's tried to make me kill my not girlfriend that Marisil is a bad guy. And I should probably do what the Ragman has been telling the only person who has saved my life at all in this
several
whole
times,
book.
Several times, yeah.
I should probably do what that guy wanted me to do.
Yeah. Hey, better late than never.
Yeah, dude.
You figured it out.
Yeah, just during an inquisitional siege.
Yeah, you know. What better time? So they run downstairs. They manage to break his cage open with that same white disc spell.
Yep.
And predictably, they gotta be fucking idiots to not know this is gonna happen. They break the cage, and it just, like, breaks into pieces, and Ith falls into the pit that's
below
him.
Where the demons may or may not be.
Yeah, they didn't bother to, like, send a, like, do a rope first or anything. Nothing. So,
they're just like, we're gonna crudely throw magic at this thing.
He falls, and he screams, and then rises.
Yeah, as, like, a force ghost.
As a, yeah.
Angry force ghost.
Big flaming force ghost, and he's just screaming. He's fully probably insane.
Yeah.
This may have been a mistake.
Yeah, he's pissed.
He's pissed. He comes up, he tries to lightning bolt Joda.
Yep.
And the Ragman gets in the way.
Ragman sacrifices himself
three
for
toughness,
Joda.
Down.
Done. Sorry. Sorry, Ragman.
Goodbye.
We do find out. Ragman will be back.
Oh, I mean, Ragman's nothing.
He can just summon the Ragman.
Yeah, Ragman's disposable.
But anyway, but first...
The Ragman says in his dying words, the only words the Ragman utters, save Ith.
Yeah.
Now they think, save Ith, save him from himself. And he's not about it. So he's mad that he's been, you know, in a cage and whatnot. So he just flies through the ceiling as, like you said, like the flaming force ghost that he is. And we cut then to... the big face-off.
Like, this should be Joda versus Marisol, right? If a regular book was being written, it would be the hero of the story.
Or something.
But no, it's the crazy inquisitional guy versus the evil wizard.
Yep.
The only ones with any kind of character development or characterization, really, at all.
Yeah.
And they're going to have some talkies and some fighties. Marisol straightened himself up, visibly trying to restrain his temper.
Why did you do this? Why now?
I do this because I am hunting wizards and found a nest of them. I will not rest until every spellcaster is slain.
Even those in your holy church?
Said Marisol, circling away from the door now. He no longer cast spells, but his clasp... He no longer cast spells, but he clasped T magical wand with a white-knuckled grip. That's how it's written.
Even those who serve beside you and mouth the same words and sing the same hymns as you?
You seek to rock my faith. Evil seeks to do that. I know there may be mages hiding among the faithful. They will always be rooted out and put to the torch. Of this, I have no doubt.
And will you be among those put to the torch, priestess?
I will be holding that torch. I have only the desire to search out evil for the church.
You don't realize, do you? You're one of us. You use magic just as we do. All your miracles and mysteries? Magic!
Meanwhile, elsewhere
in the castle, Seema...
They split up.
Yeah, they're both like... They come out of the passageway and Barl's there with his crossbow.
Yeah, and she's like, you go get Marisol, I got this
guy. I got this guy. And we're supposed to, I guess, assume that he's dispatched off screen. And so then Joda confronts Marisol about his intent to sacrifice him. He's like, oh, I can't believe you would have done that. I trusted you.
You were my almost dad.
You were almost my dad. I've had several.
Several dads.
I almost had a girlfriend once in this adventure, too.
She'll definitely be
back.
She
had the body of a greyhound.
And Marisol knows that all his shit, he's already bragged that the wizards have turned the tide against the Inquisition.
Yeah.
And he also knows that Ith is loose killing people downstairs.
Yeah, he can feel it.
And he's like, I'm going to fuck you up, child.
Yeah,
if
I do anything. But just in time, Ith.
Cuckoo Banana Pants shows up.
Is it still as a force ghost or is he like...
Yeah, he's fully force ghost still.
So he busts into the room.
Yep.
And Marisol first tries to be like, oh, thank God you're here.
Yeah, I can't believe you got
trapped. It wasn't me who did that.
You were.
You're like insane, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, let me try to fill this in for you.
We're best buds. You taught me everything I know.
Yeah, it seems to work for like a second.
Yeah.
But then I think, was it Joda says like, no.
Yeah. I think Ith just
and
like
Ith
has a moment
knows.
Of clarity and is like, nah, I'm going to kill this fucking
guy. Yeah, I think
guy.
I'm just going to kill all of you.
Yeah.
But Ith's magic doesn't work.
Why?
Against Marisol. We don't know, actually. It's never
don't
really
explain
fully
it
explained.
At all.
It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marisol's got some protections up.
Marisol's got a bunch of wards, whatever. Yeah. And it isn't until one of Ith's spells reflects off of Joda's mirror.
Damn, dude. You know I keep that motherfucking thing on me.
Yeah, honestly. The most OP artifact in the whole book. It sets Marisol on fire and he just goes running out of the room.
Yep.
Does not die on screen, of note.
Yeah, so he could be back.
He could be back.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess Ith just calms down at that point.
Yeah,
right?
He like comes to his senses after
he's
his.
He's like, "Oh man, that was wild.
Whoa, sorry, I almost killed everybody."
Anyway,
this is the best. Yeah. This is the best because they're outside the maze now. They're talking on like a hill on the other side of the maze, and while they're talking, the surviving wizards from Wizard House Conclave are like mopely at the edge of the maze, like kicking rocks, not knowing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
In the background of Joda and Ith having this final
conversation. This big conversation. They're just like, well, I guess like, I don't know, there's the servants and stuff that lived. And
yeah,
I mean, the place kind of crumbled a little.
Yeah, and this place...
this force honestly, ghost blew a hole through all the floor and foundation. And
yeah.
It's like, nah, I can rebuild this. This is no biggie. But Joda, do you want to come with me on a special magic journey?
Nah.
Nah, he says. He says nah.
He
After
says
all
nah.
that, he's just like, I'm good.
This guy could be his real magic daddy.
He could. He could.
But instead, he's like, I want to go to nerd
wizard
school.
He's like, nah, dude, you're fucking insane.
Yeah.
Still.
He's like, you guys party too hardy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to nerd wizard
school. I'm
going
to go to nerd school. I need some sleep.
Yeah.
After all this, after this crazy adventure.
The only part of this I liked was transcribing books in the library.
Yeah, I can't really, can't wait to start my formal wizard education at 45 years old.
Good thing I was in the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, oh yeah, for real. And there's a new Ragman, by the way. I don't know if you caught this detail, that it the same descriptor they use for Barl. About how he seems big, even though he's small. So we're
Turned Barl into a ragman.
Yeah, turned Barl into a ragman.
That's cool, dude.
So that's pretty cool. And it just basically it's just like I'm taking all these misfits and my drunk friend Shannon and these slaves, even though I'm not supposed to call them slaves, and we're all going to nerd school.
We're all going to nerd school.
And we're all going to nerd school.
Yeah.
And that's the end of our tale.
See you later, lore horse.
Bye, lore horse.